tonight and every Monday night. Downstairs Entertainment, in association with Davy Boy Productions, presents Rex Riveter, Private Eye. Tonight's episode, The Case of the Farmer's Wife. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Rex Riveter, Private Eye.
The name is Riveter, Rex Riveter. License number 698753. Issued by the Police Department of Los Angeles. Occupation? Private detective. Sometimes known as a private eye or private dick. I don't like that term, private dick. But it's better than being called a public dick or being called a dick in public. I got a little office on 3rd and Grand, above the delicatessen. Down the hall is a mail-order Bible salesman, a Chinese dentist, and a shyster lawyer that's always stopping me on the street asking if I can pass him a client or two, and promising he'll make it worth my while. Over the years, there have been a few times I've been tempted to take him up on his offer. My office isn't much, but I'm my own boss, and I make my own hours. Usually.
Good morning, Mr. Riveter. Getting in a little late this morning, aren't we?
Who's running this place, Jenny? You or me?
Oh, well, the jury's still out. But when you show up 10:30, somebody has to hold back the throng of adoring admirers.
Forget the fans. What we need are clients. Otherwise, I won't be able to pay your exorbitant wages.
Wait, you're supposed to be paying me? All this time, who knew? Well, then maybe you should step into your office. United Service just dropped off a parcel.
Jenny was right. There is a package waiting. She has the kind of figure that leaves a man dizzy and short of breath. She's standing at the window when I walk in, gazing out across the street watching a trolley car pass by. She turns to look at me with oversized cobalt peepers and a face fresh from the farm. She's been crying.
You must be Mr. Riveter, is that right?
That's right.
Mr. Riveter, my husband is missing. I would like you to find him.
Well, Mrs.
Madison. Virginia Madison.
Well, Mrs. Madison, that's really a job for the local
Buttons?
Sorry, the cops.
Oh, I've spoken with the police. They took a report, but I don't think they're working very hard to find him. After all, this is a big city, and I imagine they probably have more important things to do than look for one man.
More important?
Well, more important to them. Nothing is more important to me, Mr. Riveter, than finding my dear Harold. That's his name. My husband, Harold Madison.
I see. Well, that's very understanding of you, Mrs. Madison. Most people don't give the local boys in blue that much consideration.
We aren't from Los Angeles, Mr. Riveter. Harold only came to the city to visit his sick mother.
Huh. Sick mother, huh?
Yes. She took ill a few weeks ago, and Harold hasn't any brothers or sisters, so he came to visit her here in the hospital. He telephoned me when he arrived, but I haven't heard from him since. That was over a week ago, Mr. Riveter.
Have you been by the hospital to see his mother?
Yes, Mr. Riveter. Those were the first places I went. I checked all of the hospitals.
All of them?
Well, we only have one hospital in Cedar City, where I'm from. I didn't think to ask Harold which one his mother was at.
Cedar City?
Utah, Mr. Riveter. It's a small town. We have a little farm just outside in the country. It's not much, just a few chickens and a cow for milk and butter, but it's all ours.
Uh-huh. So did you find the elder Mrs. Madison?
That's the queer thing, Mr. Riveter. I called around at all of the hospitals and I couldn't find Harold or his mother. I'm afraid I might be going insane, but I'm certain Harold bought a bus ticket to Los Angeles. I am sure of it.
I see. Do you have a photo of your husband, Mrs. Madison?
Yes, right here.
Very nice. Is this you and Mr. Madison at your farm?
Yes.
And this must be the cow you spoke of in the background.
Yes, Mr. Riveter. But she's back at home. I don't need you to find her.
I can't tell if she's putting me on or not. Does your husband come to Los Angeles very often, Mrs. Madison?
No, sir. Neither of us has ever been outside of Utah before. That's why I'm so worried. What if something has happened to him? What if he was kidnapped or robbed? What if...
Look, Mrs. Madison... I understand your concern, but I've been doing this a long time, and I'd like to offer you a piece of advice for free, if you don't mind. Go back home to Culver. Your husband probably got caught up in the excitement of the big city, of being away from the farm and his responsibilities. A man needs to get away every once in a while and breathe. He'll come back in a few days, a little embarrassed, but otherwise none the worse for wear. And when he comes back, don't ask him where he's been. Just be happy he's alive. Pretend you were never here.
Thank you, Mr. Riveter, for your advice. But you don't know my husband. He would never run off like this. He is a good, upstanding man. And it's Cedar City, not Culver. Cedar City, Utah.
She passes the first test. Virginia Madison shakes my hand and tells me she's staying at a dump a few blocks away. I let her know I'll contact her the minute I learn anything. She leaves my office looking a little more relieved, but not before dropping off a wad of bills with Jenny, my $50 retainer in fives and tens, which I apply to a week's worth of investigations. Anything I don't use, I return at the end of the week. That's the way I do things. If they don't like it, they can find some other schlub.
So, a case, huh? Anything interesting?
Not really. Just your basic missing person. I'm going out for a bit, Jenny.
Well, what do I tell Mrs. Leibovitz if she comes looking for rent?
Give her a couple of sawbucks and tell her I love her. I take a spin over to Union Station and flash Harold Madison's picture around. It's a long shot, but I figure it's worth a try.
Now boarding for San Juan Capistrano, San Diego, and Tijuana.
Excuse me. I'm looking for a guy who would have come in from Utah last Tuesday.
Oh, you're going to want to talk to Bud over there in the cage. He can help you.
Bud is a middle-aged stick figure man sitting in a wooden kiosk behind a thick iron cage. As I approach, he snubs out an unfiltered and pulls a bag of tobacco out of his shirt pocket to roll another. Are you Bud?
That's right, Boyle. You bought your tickets over at the counter there.
I'll keep that in mind, but I'm not leaving. I'm wondering if you've seen this man. His face changes from summer to winter.
No, sir. Can't say as I have. Who is he to you?
He's my brother-in-law. He's coming into town for a visit, but he never showed up.
Oh, that's too bad.
Here, why don't you take a closer look?
Nope, sorry, mister. I never seen him before. But we get tons of people coming through this place every day. How am I supposed to remember someone from over a week ago?
That's funny. I never told you when he came through. Bud is starting to lose his composure.
Sorry, mister. I really can't help you.
The thin man starts to slide a wooden panel down. I slip one of my business cards to him before he closes the gate completely. You should probably get used to looking through bars like that. Why don't I call a cop friend of mine and have him come over for a chat? I'm sure he'd be very interested in you. That got his attention.
Look, friend, I don't want any trouble. And I definitely don't want no police coming around here asking a bunch of questions. I like my job and I want to keep it. And I don't want no trouble with anybody else. I got a passel of kids at home. I got to think about them.
Just tell me what I need to know and we'll part ways. His eyes roll around like the reels on a Vegas slot machine.
I might have seen a fellow that looked similar to your man, but I don't remember much.
Go on.
I don't remember anything other than I saw him passing through here. He had a suitcase, I think. An old, beat-up one.
A lemon and two oranges. Of all the people that come through here, you remember that one. Something about him must have caught your attention. There go the eyes again.
Well, he came up to my counter and asked about a place to get a drink and then where he could catch a cab.
Two sevens and a cherry. Any club in particular?
Well, let me see if I can remember.
I slip a sawbuck through the cage and pull the one arm bandit again. Three cherries.
Oh, now I recall. Macombos.
Jackpot.
Now we're riding through 66.
Tonight's episode of Rex Riveter Private Detective is brought to you in part by Davy Boy Productions. For sound design, private voiceover workshops, or to consult with voiceover recording artist Dave Rivas about your project, visit www.davyboyproductions.com. If your project needs a voice or sound designer, contact Dave Rivas of Davy Boy Productions. To book your session today, call 619-300-4761. That's 619-300-4761. or visit www.davyboyproductions.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we return to Rex Riveter, Private Eye, in The Case of the Farmer's Wife.
I'm working a missing person case. A young woman by the name of Virginia Madison hired me to find her husband. He'd come out to Los Angeles from Cedar City, Utah, 7 days ago. He called her from the bus station when he arrived, but she hadn't heard from him since. I talk to a Mick at the depot who points me in the direction of Macambo's. It's a hot spot for the rich and wannabe famous over on Sunset. It's the kind of place where you go to see and be seen. Sinatra, Ava Gardner, Joe DiMaggio, and his ex-wife all frequent the place. It's known for its celebrity clientele and floor-to-ceiling aviaries. I've never been inside. It's not my cup of gin, but I read about it in the papers a few years back. It seems one of those Hollywood stars punched some guy named Jimmy Fiddler across the beak in retaliation for some comments Fiddler had made in his column in the Times. Jenny clipped the story out of the paper and saved it in a scrapbook. I don't remember if she knew Fiddler or the actor, or if she was just making a things-to-do list and Macambo's was on it. It's a little early in the day for this kind of clip joint to be open. It's strictly a dinner-and-a-show kind of house. As I drive up, a trio of Italians in $100 suits steps outside. One of them seems to hold the rapt attention of the other two. I think I'll stick my nose in and see who takes a swing.
And do you see, my friends, where the irony is? He does not know that La Isla de los Alcatraces translates to Island of the Pelicans. Excuse me, sir, but we are not open until 7 o'clock this evening. Perhaps you'll return then.
Maybe you can help me. I'm looking for this man. Have you seen him? The mouthy one stares at the picture blankly for a minute and then replies.
Mayhaps you did not hear me correctly. This fine establishment is not open at this time. Returning at 7 o'clock will be more propitious for you.
One of the other Brunos in pinstripes throws a hammer into my gut. Oof! I double over like a prima ballerina taking a final bow, but I'm not done with him. I throw my face into his fist, my stomach into his knee, and before he knows it, I'm on the sidewalk and he's standing on top of me.
You'll have to excuse my associate. He's very anxious to please our employer. Mickey, apologize to the nice man and help him back into his automobile. Please, do not forget your hat. A man should never be without a hat.
Do you know that men have worn hats since the ancient times? They are worn to keep the sun off of faces, to provide warmth to the top of the head when it is cold, and in the case of Vincent here, to add a few inches to a diminutive frame.
I lay across the front seat of my car until it stops hurting to breathe. By my estimate, that's sometime around August of 1964. Once I can sit up without wincing, I start the car. Quick look over at the doors to Macambo shows that the mouthpiece and the gorilla with the anvil fist has gone back inside. The short one, Vincent, standing by the door giving me the eye. I follow his features away for later reference and head back to the office. Jenny meets me downstairs at the deli.
You back already? Oh, wow, Rex, what happened to you?
Girl Scouts are getting more aggressive in their cookie sales.
No kidding. Well, I hope you brought me a box of chocolate mints.
Sorry, Angel. All they had were vanilla.
Oh, I got a first aid kit upstairs. Do you need some help getting into the elevator?
No, thanks. I think I can manage. Jenny looks at me with big puppy dog eyes. She's a good kid. I recognize the irony. I'm a private detective. I dig into people's past for a living. I never got the full skinny on hers. I figure she'll fill me in when she's ready. We take the elevator up to the second floor.
Oh, here, let me get the... Oh, my!
The place had been ransacked. Cabinet drawers are open. Papers and files are everywhere. The sounds of sirens and flat feet running up the stairs suddenly register. I rush past Jenny into my office. It's worse than I expected.
Well, what is it, Rex?
Stay out there, Jenny. Don't come in. Harold Madison, I presume. At least, he used to be. He's dead.
Tonight's episode of Rex Riveter Private Eye stars Randy Cool and Rhiannon McAfee, featuring Steve Murdoch, guest starring Debbie David, with appearances by James Steinberg and Jennifer McKenna. Tonight's episode was written by Greg McAfee and is transcribed in San Diego, California. It is produced by Downstairs Entertainment, with recording, sound, and editing by Davey Boy Productions. The Rex Riveter theme, Nightmare, by the Artie Shaw Orchestra, is used by permission of Music Sales Corp. Rex Riveter is directed by Rhiannon McAfee, with vocal, sound, and technical direction by Dave Rivas. And if you enjoyed tonight's episode, please find us on the internet at www.dsentertain.com or on the Facebook or the Twitter. Tonight's episode of Rex Riveter Private Detective is brought to you in part by Davey Boy Productions. For sound design, private voiceover workshops, or to consult with voiceover recording artist Dave Rivas about your project, visit www.daveyboyproductions.com. And be sure to join us next Monday night, same time and place, for the exciting second part of Rex Riveter and the Case of the Farmer's Wife. For Downstairs Entertainment, this is Greg McAfee speaking.